BetUS.com is back for our 20th year of NFL action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the chance to cash in on all your favorite sports. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS, where the game begins.
Bob Fesco's going to waddle on over here. If I was Terry Bradshaw, that's how I would introduce every guest this week from Kansas City, as I thought that was a great moment after the game. But Bob does a tremendous job hosting mornings on 610 Sports in Kansas City, and the Chiefs are once again world champions. So, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, you know, 60 pounds ago, Zach, I probably would waddle on over there to you, but I'm a little bit spryer now in my older age. Things couldn't be better, my friend. I mean, it's just, you know, just to kind of think about where we are with this whole thing with Patrick Mahomes and with this organization, and, you know, we're 5 years in and already have two championships. I mean, you got to pinch a lot of people around here who a decade ago are looking at Kansas City as the worst organization in the NFL, and 10 years later, it's the premier spot to be.
And to be clear, Bob, I was not fat shaming you, as I'll probably get accused of that. You are in very good shape. I was even saying a hickey before the show, before you called in, you know, Bob Fesco's in really good shape.
Yeah. But you know what? In college, I was about 300 pounds, and, you know, here I am, and I'm getting ready to turn 46 in April. I may be at my lowest weight of the last decade or so. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, but it was so funny to see Terry Bradshaw say that. Like, he's said some wild things lately, hasn't he?
I love it. I think it's entertaining because usually you get some boring drip up there that just go,
right,
hey, how does it feel to win a championship?
Or you get Jim Nance up there who makes it all about himself, you know?
Well, we're CBS Sports Radio, so let me just say that we love Jim Nance here, and Jim's been very benevolent to me in my career, and the views of Bob Fesco do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I vehemently disagree with everything Bob just said in the last 15 seconds. Anyway, Bob, let me start you off with Mahomes. So it's weird because he was wonderful in the game, but then I look at the passing yard numbers and I go, if you would have told me before the game that Mahomes would only have 180-something passing yards, I probably would have said to you, how many points did the Chiefs lose by?
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, because there were some, you know, early bets, you know, some of those bonus bets they flip you every once in a while. Patrick Mahomes over 225 yards in the Chiefs win. You're like, well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm going to take that one every day of the week because you think the Chiefs are going to win if you're, you know, obviously a fan of the Chiefs as an organization. And Patrick Mahomes, he gets 225 yards in the first drive of every game. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, man, this is a situation where I feel great about Patrick Mahomes putting up some big numbers, but he didn't yesterday. And I guess didn't have to yesterday, because you get a big punt return from Kadarius Toney. You get a great defensive score from Bolton, and all of a sudden you're like, that's plus 14 right there, where Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have to go to work.
I know that this wasn't the most passing touchdowns he's thrown in a season. It is the most yards. To me, I think this is the most impressive year, Bob, of his career, just because of what he lost in Tyreek Hill and how many people tried to knock Kansas City off the perch just inside the AFC to not only see them in the Super Bowl, but then to win it and come from behind, which we were just so used to without Tyreek Hill. That's as good as it gets with Mahomes.
Oh, no doubt. And I think this is the best Chiefs team we've ever seen from 1 to 53 on the roster, too. I mean, you can go back to those 60s teams that severely underachieved and should have won more Super Bowls than they did. And fast forward to where we are now, and I'm looking at this Chiefs team, and I'm thinking to myself, man, this organization is right now prime to keep this thing going. And you know, I felt like a scorned father almost for the last year of defending this organization and saying they're going to be just fine without Tyreek Hill, because that's what great quarterbacks do. They elevate everybody around them. And I know we've really only seen in this era of football, I guess, Tom Brady do that, where he's elevated every guy around him. But that's where Patrick Mahomes is. That's why he makes $50 million a year, and he's going to go out there and figure it out. And he started it off back in the spring with what they were calling pack camps, where all the wide receivers and pass catchers would go down to Texas, and they'd all work out. And Andy even mentioned it last night. He goes, yeah, it really started when Pat had those guys together, you know, down in Texas when the coaches couldn't get involved. And so they got to it right away. And I think now if you're coming to Kansas City and you're going to play with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to put in the work and you're going to be as valuable as you possibly can.
Bob Fesco here with us. The second half, if there was the most valuable person in the game and not player, I thought Andy Reid then would have won the MVP, because he coached circles around Nick Sirianni, who did a remarkable job this year.
Well, it was remarkable to watch Andy Reid go to work. And I said this morning on my show, give Andy Reid 29 minutes at halftime with a Rihanna concert mixed in, and that's basically another bye week. And so Andy Reid had the opportunity to kind of go to work. And he does great when he has time and when he has an opportunity to put things in place. And it's kind of funny. We're going to talk about this tomorrow on our show, a little sneak peek, if you will, Zach. Andy Reid, you know, the two touchdowns that they scored, the one to Kadarius Toney and the other to Sky Moore, he ripped those off from Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
The Jags ran those plays earlier this year against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I mean, right then and there, that's insane coaching, right? I mean, like, he's going back to every game that's been played against the Eagles and saw from each game what worked, and then saw an offense that's basically his being run in Jacksonville score very easily on that Eagles defense, and they did it not once but twice in that game to each side of the field of Philadelphia.
If Kadarius Toney went five more yards on that punt return, and he only made two plays in the game, but they were huge plays, would he have won the MVP last night?
That's funny because Damian Williams, we all thought should have won it a couple of years ago when they beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl. You know, when he scored that final touchdown, he was great in the postseason that year for Kansas City, and we thought he should have won MVP. But, of course, you're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes. And I just think in a spot like that, Patrick Mahomes is always going to get the benefit of the doubt, even though Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field and it wasn't even close. I mean, he was amazing. Save the fumble. I mean, he was outstanding in yesterday's game. Philadelphia wins. He gets the MVP going away. But I still think you probably end up giving it to Patrick Mahomes. What if Bolton gets two scooping scores? Then he's the MVP.
He would have won it. If that second one, I thought it was the right call to reverse it and just being in the stadium, I saw Chiefs fans were celebrating. They're like, oh, this is going to come back. But if he would have got two touchdowns, he would have won MVP.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, and I thought, just so you know, I thought the refs were marvelous yesterday. I had no issue at all with the officiating in this game.
Well, we were going to get to that in a second. Now, you should be fine with the way the officiating did go down. All I ask for is consistency, and I'm not a believer in saying, oh, you can't call it in that spot. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But I thought with the way that it was going to the first 58 minutes, I thought it was a bad call on that hold.
Well, and you know, I think we could argue it if Bradberry didn't come out after the game and go, yeah, I held him. I just hoped they weren't going to call it. I think once he said that, we all have to move on. And I know Philadelphia fans are kind of bent about this one because they were, you know, I was listening to, you know, our sister station WIP this afternoon just to kind of hear what Philadelphia was talking about. And one guy's like, we were at the party all year long, and then, like, it just ended and everybody left and we were, like, stuck with the bill. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way it was, you know. For Philadelphia fans, they thought they were going to win this thing. And I know they're upset about that penalty because it stands out and it's something you can grab onto and everybody can unite over it. But they gave up 7 points on a Bolton scoop and score and essentially 14 points on that Kadarius Toney punt return, which ended up being the longest punt return in the history of the Super Bowl down to the 5-yard line, that 65-yard return. So when you do stuff like that, I have a hard time going up. That Bradberry penalty ultimately, you know, cost him the game. Don't turn the ball over and don't allow Kadarius Toney to take one almost back to the house. And, you know, Philadelphia all year long was complaining about their punting situation. And, boy, it seems like when you got something that really doesn't work right and you play in the Super Bowl, it gets exposed.
If they didn't call the hold, Hurts going to get the ball back with a little under 2 minutes left. Are we talking about the Chiefs still being world champions today?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm never going to get bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Those two guys together are better than anything that this league has to offer. And that's why I was going into this game all last week, though. And I understand what people are saying about Philadelphia and why people think Philadelphia is good. I get all that. But, boy, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are infinitely better than Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And they're really infinitely better than most quarterback head coach combinations in this league. And I just couldn't get myself to really start believing in Philadelphia until somebody proved to me that Hurts-Sirianni combo is better than Reid and Mahomes, and it's just not.
And Hurts lived up to it last night, but Sirianni that second half, I was surprised with how much success they had throwing the ball down the field. Even when there was incompletions, the plays were there. I was surprised that it took them that long to go back to that approach in the second half, which led to a score for them when Devontae Smith caught the ball and then fell out of bounds.
Yeah, you know, and they had it rolling there early, and it kind of reminded me of the Houston playoff game a couple of years ago where the Chiefs were down 24 points for all intents and purposes, you know, knocked in the face early. But there was a big play in that game where we saw, I think it was Bill O'Brien, the coach at the time, they kicked a field goal to go up 24-0 instead of going for a short fourth down conversion, that if you get it, you continue the drive and you're already inside Chiefs territory. And instead of getting three, you get seven, and then all of a sudden it's a 28-0 lead. I think we saw that with Sirianni. They were up, what, six? you know, in the third or fourth quarter, whatever it was, and it was like a fourth and two on his own 30, you've been aggressive all night long. You've got to go for the kill shot. And when teams allow Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to kind of hang around, bad things happen for those teams. It's almost like playing a prevent type of offense or playing a prevent type of game. You gave Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid an opportunity. You should have delivered the knockout in the third round, but here we are in the 10th round, and they're still standing, and you know they're going to beat your butt.
You're 100% right. Bob Fesco here with us. From an Eagles perspective, the thing that surprised me, the two things that surprised me the most, one, that defense that had 70 sacks in the regular season did not take Mahomes down once. And the other part, outside of Hurts, they could not run the football last night.
No, I know. It was crazy. I thought the Chiefs' defensive line did a really nice job against the rush. And you know, the Chiefs really didn't get any sacks either. I mean, you look at the stat thing, and you got Leo Chenal, a rookie. He's credited with a sack, but that was like a Hurts minus 1 yard type of run. The defensive lines that were the two, I guess you could say, best in the NFL, you know, the Eagles were number one in sacks going into this game. The Chiefs were number two in the NFL in sacks going into this game. For all intents and purposes, there were zero sacks in that football game.
If I had to put the over-under right now at 5 Lombardi trophies for Mahomes, you take the over?
He's got 2, right? Yeah, I'm going to take the over. There's something about Patrick Mahomes that when he puts his mind to it and says he's going to do it, he goes and does it. And he wants Tom Brady's record, man. He's gunning for it. I think he's probably going to end up getting it.
So you think he's going to end up winning 8?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's going to leave until he gets the 8.
How much longer, and I know after the game or before the game this is being talked about with Andy Reid, I never thought for a second there was a chance, regardless of the outcome last night, that Andy Reid was going to retire. Like, I'm thinking at least Reid's going, as long as the health is there, bare minimum 5 more years, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. Before this Mahomes thing started, you know, like his rookie year, if you talk to people, they said, maybe 3 or 4 more years. Oh, here's Patrick Mahomes. Why is he going anywhere? I mean, he's only 64 years old.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's approaching 70. Why aren't we trying to push him out the door?
And the other thing about that, Bob, too, is for 20 years it was Andy Reid can't win a big game. Now you have 2 rings. I'm not walking away from that.
Oh, heck no. You get that 3rd Super Bowl. I mean, we talk about how important getting the 2nd was for Andy Reid. You get that 3rd Super Bowl, and now people outside of Kansas City are talking about how great you are. And so you've got this once-in-a-generation, maybe once-in-a-ever quarterback right now. If you're Andy Reid, I'm not going anywhere. I'm kicking back, and I'm letting this thing play out as long as I can.
What's the deal with Bieniemy? Will he be back as the OC next year? I know he's interviewing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's time for Eric Bieniemy to go somewhere else and do his thing without Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because no matter what he does here, people are always going to look at it and go, well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So if he goes and, you know, coaches somewhere else and has the success like he's seeing here from an offensive standpoint, I think that's a better opportunity for him to turn that into a head coaching job where people will actually believe, hey, Eric Bieniemy's doing this. It's not just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
By the way, before we let you run, Bob, what was it like hosting today?
Fun. It was a blast today, man. It was so much fun being on the air and celebrating with fans, because for so long in this town, we didn't win anything. And now we're winning Super Bowls, and my whole approach is each one needs to be treated like it's your first and it will be your last. And you've got to love it up and enjoy every minute of it, because you don't know when it's going to be gone. It could be gone just like that. You know, something could happen tomorrow where it's all gone. You just don't know. So you have to enjoy every single one of them. And I think the fans are starting to understand that. Nobody's taking this stuff for granted. And I think Wednesday is going to be just an insane day at the parade.
Well, enjoy life in the penthouse. It's always fun when you're up on the top floor and you get to just polish all those trophies year after year after year. Bob Fesco, appreciate the time.
Anytime, Zach, man. Appreciate it.